Good day, everyone, everywhere, and special greetings to all those seated in heavenly places in Yeshua, also called Jesus, our Messiah. The name of this program is Cross the Border, and I'm Nicholas. What we're doing these days is we're going through the Bible, and we are in the Psalms. We left off in Psalm chapter 4 yesterday, or last time, I should say. And we're just going to jump right in here. I'll just start at the beginning. It's a short psalm. Verse 1, to the chief musician on Neginoth, and that is a stringed instrument, a psalm of David. Hear me when I call, O God of my righteousness. Thou hast enlarged me when I was in distress. Have mercy upon me and hear my prayer. O ye sons of men, how long will you turn my glory to shame? How long will you love vanity and seek after leasing or vanity or deception? The word leasing there apparently had a different meaning in the early English than it does today. So the question, how long will you turn my glory into shame? How long will you love vanity? How do we turn the glory of God into shame? I've been going through some things here with the network, having to deal with some issues. And turning the glory of God into shame is to take the glory of God and to attribute it to men. That is vanity. To say, look at us, look how great a thing we are doing for the glory of God. As if we could take pride in anything we do. If we realize that the Word of God says that all good things come from God, then what do we have to be proud of? Surely, what do we have to be proud of? If we attribute the gift of God to our own goodness or the goodness of our race, because there is racial pride out there, or we attribute it to our supremacy, personal, or the supremacy of our family or our clan, or the color, or those people that are the same color of skin that we are we not robbing God of His glory and attributing it to man? So, how long will you turn my glory into shame? How long will you love vanity, seeking after deception? Verse 3, but know that Yahuwah, the Lord, has set apart him that is godly for himself. Yahuwah will hear when I call unto him. Of course, now David is personalizing this, but he says that our Creator sets apart him that is godly for himself. Will you be set apart for God? Well, how do you know if you're set apart? Because you're godly. You practice righteousness, and he will hear us when we call unto him. It doesn't mean we're always going to get whatever we ask, but whatever we ask according to His will, we will get. That according to the word of the Messiah, as even the Messiah asked amiss. He said, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. So it's not a sin to ask for something that's not according to His will, obviously, because the Messiah never sinned. As long as what we're asking for is a good thing, and I believe it would have been a good thing if there was another way to redeem all of us without the shedding of His blood. Certainly, our loving Heavenly Father would have taken that. But He hears, and it says, Yahuwah will hear when I call unto Him. Stand in awe and sin not. And there's the instruction. Stand in awe. You know, and I hear the word awesome a lot. And people use it for light things, for things that are not really awesome. And they banty about the word like it's nothing. They want to reduce that which should be awesome or awe-inspiring or, you know, full of awe to mediocre occurrences. Mediocrity is now awesome. Well, more than anything, the use of the word awesome has now become cliché. But I will not use the word for anything light. I will only attribute it to my Creator and the works of His hands, because I will not turn His glory into shame. I will not attribute to man pridefully anything that rightly belongs to Him. And if all good things come from God, then how can we attribute any good thing to mankind? Yes, that wipes away the pride, and we should give all the glory to Him. So stand in awe and sin not. Commune with your own heart upon your bed and be still. But the instruction there, and sin not. You know, it's like the Messiah said when He would forgive someone in the many ways that He forgave and the many people that He forgave. And He always told them, go your way and sin no more. So stand in awe and sin not. And if you stand, truly stand in awe of our Creator, well, how are you going to stand in front of Him and sin if you're standing in awe of Him and everything that He has done, and you're attributing to Him every good thing and all glory to Him? Verse 5, offer the sacrifices of righteousness. You know, that sounds like something that Paul could have wrote. The sacrifices of righteousness. He says, I beseech you, brethren, that it is, and I can't remember exactly, I just read it the other day too, that our that we offer our bodies a living sacrifice, referring to that verse. Offer the sacrifices of righteousness. What are the sacrifices of righteousness? Well, that is putting off the old man, putting off the sin, as he says there, sin not. Stand in awe and sin not. Would that be a sacrifice of righteousness and a sacrifice of praise? I mean, really, isn't that it? Isn't that what he's saying? When you stand in awe, you're offering the sacrifice of praise. And when you sin not and you do that which is right instead, you're offering the sacrifice of righteousness. He says, and put your trust in Yahuwah. Put your trust in your Creator while you offer the sacrifices of righteousness. Because the temptations of this world, the temptations that would draw you away from what is lawful in His sight, what is right in His sight, there's only one reason why you would fall for those things, because you don't trust Him. You know, why would you fall for the benefits of man and forget His benefits? Because you don't trust in Him. You're putting your trust in someone else. But He says, offer the sacrifices of righteousness and put your trust in your Creator, the Lord. It's written here in the Authorized King James Version. Verse 6, there be many that say, who will show us any good? Yahuwah, lift thou up the light of thy countenance upon us. Thou hast put gladness in my heart, more than in the time that their corn and their wine increased. So he's drawing a distinction. He's drawing a dichotomy here, an illustration where he has gladness, that his Creator has put gladness in his heart. And the gladness that he has in his time of want, in the time that he's running for his life, he's saying the gladness of my heart is more than in the time of their corn and their wine increased. He says, while they're getting fat, and they have riches, and they have everything they need, the gladness that you have put in my heart is greater than the gladness that their riches and their fatness bring. I will both lay me down in peace and sleep, for thou, Lord, Yahuwah, only makest me dwell in safety. So he's looking at his enemies, those that are chasing him down. They sleep in comfort in their palaces and their houses. They have their corn, they have their wine, they have everything they need. But he says, I have gladness in my heart, and I will lay me down in peace and sleep, for only you make me dwell safely. And yes, he does, regardless of what's going on around us, regardless of the persecution that we may be suffering. And you see it demonstrated by those that are suffering persecution today. They have a gladness in their heart, and they dwell safely because they have his peace. We're in the Psalms, chapter 5 and verse 1. To the chief musician upon Niheloth, and there another must be another stringed instrument of a. No, this is a flute. I just gotta see what these words mean. I guess Negaloth is a stringed instrument, and Nikala is a flute or a wind instrument. A Psalm of David. Give ear to my words, O Lord. Consider my meditation. Now, you know, as you go through the Psalms, and these are my favorites when it comes time to sing and to praise our Heavenly Father. These are the favorites that I have, that I love to sing His Word. And some of these especially have been put to melody for worship and praise in the congregation. And this is one of those. Give ear to my word, to my words, O Lord, consider my meditation. Hearken unto the voice of my cry, my King and my God, for unto thee will I pray. My voice shalt thou hear in the morning. O Lord, in the morning will I direct my prayer unto thee, and will look up. For thou art not a God that hath pleasure in wickedness, neither shall evil dwell with thee. Hearken unto my voice. Hearken unto the voice of my cry, my King and my God. David calls him my King and my God. And who is our King of Kings? Well, it is Yahshua, the Son of God, also known as Jesus. But his holy name is that of Yahshua, because it is the name of the Creator. And it means that our Creator is our salvation. And that's what David proclaims here constantly. Throughout the Psalms, he calls his Creator his salvation, the God of my salvation, because he is one and the same. When the Lord appeared pre-incarnate before the advent of Christ, when he appeared to Moses, when he appeared as the high priest in the Garden of Eden, I believe that he would have appeared as pre-incarnate Christ. As pre-incarnate Yahshua, Jesus, the Messiah. I believe that if they would have looked at his hands and his feet, they would have seen the nail scars. That's right. I believe that. I can't say, thus saith the Lord. I can't say I read it in the book. But I can say this. Who else would qualify to be the high priest for Adam and Eve? Who else would have qualified to make that sacrifice, that very first sacrifice, instituting the sacrificial system, that looking forward to the time when he would lay down his own life and shed his blood for their sins? Who else would qualify to institute that temporary covering? Yes, the sacrificial system. And I know all of the people today and all of the critics cry, oh, that bloody religion. Oh, them sacrificing animals and sprinkling blood on the altar and all that bloody religion of the Jews. I've heard stuff like that before. But unless they're vegetarians, well, they're sacrificing animals. Well, yes, they may not get down on the farm. They may not hook that animal up and you know, cut the skin off and butcher it into all of its parts, and so that they can eat it. But someone does it for them by proxy. Everyone who eats meat participates in the sacrifice of animals, because those animals sacrifice themselves for food for you. Okay, of course, they don't sacrifice themselves. We sacrifice them for food for us. So their lives are given up. So sacrifice still takes place to this day. So anyone who would bring up that accusation of that bloody religion, well, you better be a strict vegetarian, or you're a hypocrite. That's all I can say about that. But anyway, getting back to who else would qualify as the high priest for mankind, but Yahshua, our Creator, is our salvation. Himself. That's what his name means. If we're going to say his name in English, it would be our Creator is our salvation. That's his name. Hearken unto the voice of my cry, my King and my God, for unto thee will I pray. My voice shalt thou hear in the morning. O Lord, in the morning will I direct my prayer unto thee, and I will look up. Yahshua said, "Seek ye first the kingdom of heaven, or the kingdom of God and his righteousness." First, in the morning, we need to get our priorities straight every day. First thing, he comes first in the morning. Yes, help us. Have mercy on us. Teach us obedience. Teach us a right way, Heavenly Father. For thou art not a God that hath pleasure in wickedness, neither shall evil dwell with thee. The foolish shall not stand in thy sight. Thou hatest all workers of iniquity. Oh, there's one, another one of those, there's more hate speech for you. I'm sure this is going to be outlawed soon when the second beast of Revelation begins to speak like a dragon. Yes, it's kind of starting to practice right now pretty well. We see that it's that to the north of us, it's speaking like a dragon, throwing people into prison for preaching the gospel or speaking the word of God. And so we have hate speech throughout the scripture, and I'm sure that those in charge will outlaw the word of God as fast as they could. You know, the first beast tried and succeeded for the most part, succeeded for ages. They called it the Dark Ages, to keep the word of God hidden and outlawed. But it came out, you know, those Protestants, those protesters inside the Catholic Church and the movement that followed, released the word of God to all people. And now they're going to use hate speech laws as the dragon, starts to speak like a dragon through all of the other beasts that rise up, and specifically that one beast, that second beast that rose up in the wilderness. And they will outlaw this kind of speech, because the foolish shall not stand in thy sight. Thou hatest all workers of iniquity. And of course, who are the workers of iniquity? Well, I guess the hate speech laws don't allow you to speak against people who do abominable things. Right now, it's simply sodomites, but I'm sure in time that they'll include pedophiles and everyone else in there, and adulterers. Thou shalt destroy them that speak leasing, and there's that word again, falsehood. Thou shalt destroy them that speak falsehood, and get embroiled at controversies now and then, where people banty words back and forth. And you'll find that some people speak partial truth, and they speak partial truth to bring accusations against others. Whereas if they spoke the whole truth, the one that they're speaking against would be vindicated. So yes, you can speak only the truth, but if you omit part of the truth, it's a falsehood. In other words, a lie. As the saying goes, a half-truth is a lie, because you're omitting facts that may vindicate, and you're allowing a false accusation to stand. Thou shalt destroy them that speak leasing. Yahuwah will abhor the bloody and deceitful man. The bloody, that which when shed causes death. I'm looking at the Hebrew word for bloody there. Kind of sounds a little bit English, doesn't it? Because they use the word bloody a lot. So, but yes, interesting the way the English is used here. And I guess that makes sense, because King James was English, wasn't he? Okay. Blood, as that which when shed causes death of a man or an animal, by analogy, the juice of the grape, figuratively, especially in plural, bloodshed, and so on. Bloodthirsty, blood guiltiness. So, destroy them that speak leasing. Yahuwah will abhor the bloody, or those that by those things cause the bloodshed or the death of others. And I guess we could just say here, bearing false witness against your neighbor. A lot of that goes on. They realize with the advent of DNA evidence that they had to let a lot of people go that were on death row. Very interesting. And why were they there? Well, because you have out-of-control prosecutors fabricating evidence. bearing false witness against their neighbor, causing innocent blood to be shed. We'll be back in a few minutes. Don't go anywhere.